This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. The White House said on Wednesday that the president and Russian President Vladimir Putin are not going to meet this year, which is a real big reversal. It comes because of the pressure from fellow Republicans on how he's handled Russia. In fact, this was the statement from White House National Security Advisor John Bolton. He said on Wednesday the president believes that the next bilateral meeting with President Putin should take place after the Russia witch hunt is over. So we've agreed it will be after the first of the year. And, of course, all this is on the heels of the meeting that he had with Putin in Helsinki last week. He said that he intended to invite Putin to the White House for a follow-up meeting this fall, but because of this reversal now, obviously, with the mood and the temperature around D.C., especially with Republicans in the midterm elections coming up. Sarah Sanders, even the White House press secretary, had said that the follow-up meeting was intended to continue an ongoing working level dialogue between the two Security Council staffs. And so they hoped that they could still do that, but there would be no meeting with President Putin. In fact, Trump tweeted out himself, "I'm concerned that Russia will be fighting very hard to have an impact on the upcoming election based on the fact that no president has been tougher on Russia than me. They will be pushing very hard for the Democrats. They definitely don't want Trump." So that's a backtrack, and that comes partially when earlier in the day on Wednesday, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was being grilled on the Hill by senators about the president's two-hour private meeting that I just mentioned with Putin in Helsinki. Trump is facing a lot of criticism, and it's bipartisan criticism, for that joint press conference with the Russian leader where he appeared to accept Putin's denial of Moscow's interference in the 2016 elections. We bounce from Washington to the beaches of Fort Myers, Florida, where I am right now broadcasting. And it's interesting because, sadly, they're talking about the turtles and the loggerheads and what's happening with them and how many have washed up on shore. They're talking about red tide, a lot. And earlier in the day, I was on the beach, and I've noticed the last couple of days I've been here with my aunt that we've seen some dead fish and whatnot, and they look like catfish. And in fact, when I walked down the beach, I saw a definite catfish. And of course, there's a river that runs outside of Fort Myers or would filter into the beach potentially. And there was also an alligator gar, pretty big one. People were taking pictures of it on the beach, and the beach patrol came and bagged it up. And they talked about the fact that they said to me that it might be that river situation. Who knows? But with the whole red tide scenario going on, sad to see that. Sad to see the story about all the turtles and how the numbers are incredibly high as they saw back in 2006, the troubles with red tide. While that's happening where I am in Florida, if we bounce to the West Coast in California, there's wildfires that are causing evacuations, burning homes. And as somebody who lived in California, I know what that can be like. It's been a long time since I lived there, but I was evacuated once outside of Santa Maria, California, but now closer to Southern California, the San Jacinto Mountains, where it seems like they catch so easy east of L.A. That wildfire is out of control. The brush, the trees, the sweltering temperatures where it's in the 90s, and a couple of days of that has led to massive evacuations, and just hustling to get people out as fast as they can. And especially sometimes what happens is even in getting other fire crews from other states to help. You can see that as they build those fire lines, because of the heat and because of the Santa Ana winds, which they have kicked in, it makes it a really tough situation. It's tough to dump from the helicopters water onto these fires. And in some cases, they have to try to build a fire line around it and watch it burn in some areas. But the key thing is, it's about human life and those evacuations and getting as many people out as they can. All right, in the meantime, this is one of the craziest stories I've come across. I saw it in USA Today, and then I was just looking across at the LA Times, and I read something about this. It makes sense because it's a Cali story. A California Department of Motor Vehicles employee, they say, slept thousands of hours on the job since 2014. They did an audit, and the report showed that. The report says that the employee slept three or more hours at her desk since February of 2014. They totaled up the hours, 2,200 hours of work. It cost $40,000 is what that would be for lost time on the job. The employee, if you're curious, what do they do? A key data operator. So what does that mean? It means the routine data entry that you do for change of address, new vehicle ownership forms, you know, that kind of stuff. And she processed less than half the documents that she was expected to, an average of 200 documents a day, when key operators, when they measured this and the audit showed it, are expected to process more than 550. And apparently the supervisors were aware of the issue, but they underestimated the amount of time that she was sleeping on the job. They said it was a little here and a little there. So now they're talking about disciplinary action because the issues weren't documented, and the state's auditor's office investigated 1,400 instances of improper government activities in the past year, but this was the one that really got highlighted because, let's face it, all the jokes about the DMV and what happens when you're at the DMV and you're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, maybe somebody was sleeping on the job. All right, as we move along, this is pretty interesting. The other day I was somewhere, and I can't remember where I was, but they played an old song, 9 to 5. I know where I was. I was in Charleston. When we were in Charleston, I was at a restaurant where they played that old song, 9 to 5, from the Jane Fonda movie. And it's ironic because I'm just reading that they're talking about in this new HBO documentary that a 9 to 5 sequel. They've been talking about this 9 to 5 sequel because so many people go back to that original movie from decades ago, and they say that it would do well. They think it would do well to bring it back out and put like a fresh paint of coat on it or whatever. And so that's what they're going to do. They're going to redo 9 to 5. I don't know. Do you think there's an audience for that? People don't even work 9 to 5 anymore, I'm just saying. And then because of the Me Too movement, the timing might not be, or maybe it is right for that to have 9 to 5. It's been so long since I've seen that movie, but just hearing the music the other day and then reading the story about it, crazy, crazy timing. All right, coming up, a couple of great interviews for you next here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for Sunshine Pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra-long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find Sunshine Pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
He's in our virtual green room right now. He's one of the authors of this book that's awesome called Not Exactly Rocket Scientists and Other Stories. In fact, if you're lucky, we have a handful of copies, and you may win a copy of it. I'll tell you about that coming up later on the show. But Not Exactly Rocket Scientists, I love that anyway. How many times have we heard that expression? I think I heard this expression when I was in school, I don't know, maybe 150 times. And then the other stories. So let's dive into those stories. And again, we have Bud Schill with us. Bud, thanks for popping on.
My pleasure.
So it's about misadventures is the perfect way to say it, from really small town, mid-20th century America. It's three buddies celebrating friendship and what it's like when you're young youth, how you feel, and the laughter, the fun, the craziness, the growing up at that time. And it was an interesting time, wasn't it? What was it like pulling this together?
Well, we've known each other forever. We're old men now, but we've always been friends since we were little kids. And we started thinking about doing this book when our wives got tired of listening to our stories. And they had heard them forever, and they said, you couldn't possibly have been that stupid. And we said, well, we were. And then they said, well, wait a minute, you really were that stupid. But we're tired of hearing about the stories, so we suggest you write them down. And we did. It took us about a year and a half. We shared drafts of them. We cut each other's stories up and it's a collaboration among the three of us. It was the most fun I think any of us have ever had.
And, you know, it's interesting because we always think of it as a simpler time. We certainly lived differently. We didn't have the speed of technology we have now. It seems to me like you had more time to get into some of those misadventures than kids do these days. Do you think that that tells the listener what it was like in the 50s and 60s?
Sure. I mean, back then it was a time of innocence. We kind of lived in a bubble. Our parents had just come through a depression and two awful wars, and it was a time of peace and a time of trust. And they would send us out the door in the morning, and maybe we'd be back by dinner, and they wouldn't have the corner of a clue where we were all day. So we had a lot of time to get into mischief. Almost everything we did turned to chaos, but we had so much fun, and we fortunately were able to remember many of those stories.
One of the things that you're famous for, and you, please tell me this is not a true story, did you really water ski up the back of an alligator?
I did indeed. It was my father's fault, though. He was driving the boat.
Wow,
also,
what happened?
I've also wrestled an alligator. Well, he was driving me in a canal in Fort Lauderdale, and he kind of lost track of where we were, and I didn't see the alligator, and I went right up its back like it was a ski jump, and it went into the air, and then he panicked, turned the wheel, and sent me into a beach which wasn't made of sand. It was made of coral, so I had a piece of coral go right through my hand. It was a lovely day.
I like that. It was a lovely day. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because you were known for antics, so there were other things that you did, too, as well. Tell me about your adventures on a riding a bike indoors while you were doing a few other things.
Well, that was later in college. I had learned to play the harmonica somewhat, but there was only one song you could play without actually touching the harmonica with your hands, and that's Good Night Ladies. And I learned how to ride a bicycle inside of a fraternity house, balancing a slide rule on my nose and playing Good Night Ladies on the harmonica.
I bet you were a hit. Were you a hit?
No, I was just an annoyance.
I like that. I was just an annoyance. And see, on the serious side, I mean, you know, obviously you grew up and you were a trial lawyer and law professor and you live in Virginia and you went to the University of Virginia. So, you know, you like to say, or in one of your bios it says that you grew up to be fully functioning adults, although probably not with your wives, and you mentioned that they got tired of your stories. So I think one thing it illustrates, not exactly rocket scientists is the book and other stories, is that you can have fun in life and still have a career and still be successful and enjoy life in another way, too, because you had, I bet you took what happened in your childhood, all three of you, as you carried your friendships out and continued to laugh and love each other, right?
Sure, and it's healthy to keep a good sense of humor. You know, awful things happen to all of us, and we go through sad times, but we can make it better if we remember the fun stuff. And real things are often funnier than stuff you make up, which is why most of this book is accurate. We fact-checked it with our friends, and we tried to keep it as truthful as we could, even though it's pretty zany.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, these guys, your friends, were just the right fit for you, John and Robert. You just all came together at the right time and had the right mix to be these lifelong friends?
Yes, so much so that when we talk, we finish each other's sentences, but they're two of the best friends I've ever had in my life. But if you read the book, you'll see that there were a bunch of other people who are important to the book, people like a guy named Duke Ellington and Suds Estes and Bay Bassinger and others who are also just wonderful, wonderful people, and we tried to salute them in the book.
I like that you say you tried to salute them. Talk about Duke Ellington. That's a good story.
Well, the Duke, who unfortunately passed away a few years ago, was hilarious, and he had, among other skills, he could turn his eyelids inside out. So one time he pulled a prank on a teacher in our chef's club, which was cooking for boys, and he pretended to be hit in the face with a door. He fell down to the floor. He turned his eyelids inside out on the way down and lay there as though he were dead. She fainted, and we had to put a quart of water on her head to revive her.
Wow. And that is a talent, you know, to be able to do that. The friendships continue, obviously. You live in different parts of the country. Do you have a couple of times a year where you get together?
Yes, at least that many times. One lives in South Carolina, one lives in Pennsylvania, and I live in Virginia. We try to get together as often as we can, and our wives are wonderful friends, and it's been an important part of our lives.
So as you said, just like anyone else, you've been there for when you have this kind of close friendships. You've been there for each other through the thick and thin in life. And could you ever have had imagined when you were young boys that your lives would go in the directions they went?
No, not really. I mean, I always knew that I wanted to be a lawyer. I don't know what the other guys wanted to do, but we always hoped, you know, when we were kids that we would be able to stick together. Friends need to stick together with friends, you know, no matter where you are. And we did, and the other people in the book are still our close friends. And it's just been a great, great life.
Tell us some, the title of the book, again, is not exactly Rocket Scientists and Other Stories. What's your favorite story in the book?
Well, that's hard to say. I think one of my favorite stories in the book is one I didn't write. It was written by Mac. It's called The Commissioner. And it's about a kid we played wiffle ball with who was 3 or 4 years younger than we were and 10 years smarter than we were. And his mother wouldn't let him play with us unless we made him the commissioner of our wiffle ball league, which we did. And he was in charge, and he made all the rules. And the story ends, sadly, he was a genius. He went on to some degree of fame. But I think that's probably my favorite story.
Oh, I love that. The commissioner of wiffle ball. Well, that was a good thing to do. That was a good thing for her to step in there and say that. And I think of wiffle ball. How many hours did you play wiffle ball when you were a young boy?
34,000.
I knew it. I knew I could get you to name a number, especially as a lawyer. I love that, 34,000. And you probably have 34,000 more stories that you could share as well. How fun was it to do the book with your buddies?
Well, it was more fun than we could stand. I mean, we were good friends to start, and we're even better friends now. We never argued. You know, we took shots at each other's stories in order to make them better and make them funnier, to make them more sensitive. And they're not all funny. Some of them are sensitive. But we become even better friends and are better for it.
I love it. It's really the story of Rob, Mac, and Bud. And it's not exactly Rocket Scientists and Other Stories. Pick it up if you want a good laugh, you want to feel good. And as Bud says, it takes you through the real journey of life, too, as well. So it's got some really hilarious stories in it and some really touching ones as well. Bud, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. In between rain showers, President Trump and the head of the European Commission went into the White House Rose Garden to announce a deal to begin talks on bringing down trade barriers. Just a week ago, he referred to the EU as a foe on trade. He stood alongside the head of the European Commission and called this a very big day.
We agreed today, first of all, to work together towards zero tariffs, zero non-tariff barriers, and zero subsidies on non-auto industrial goods.
This is essentially an agreement to negotiate toward that broad goal. Now, the EU is vowing to buy more soybeans and liquefied natural gas from the United States. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Joins us again. He's an author and he's written a book. He alluded to it at the tail end of our last interview, Battersea Island. When I think of Battersea Island, I just am conjuring up all kinds of images in my head. And I have a feeling that's what he wanted us to do. So, Robert, thanks for joining us again on the show. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Kate. And hoping I can have as much fun this segment as I did with the last one.
So let's talk about the island. How did you come up with this, and what is the basic premise of Battersea Island?
I was led to Battersea Island through a friend. I have a friend. He's down here in the Tampa region of Florida, and he's a South Carolina guy. He's from the farms right outside of Charleston as a young boy. And he, one night in a pub by the Gulf of Mexico there where we would sit and suck beers, explained to me the culture of the Gullah Geechee. And this is, how do I say, there are islands that surround South Carolina, Georgia, the northern tip of Florida, the southern tip of North Carolina, and they're inhabited with the Gullah Geechee. These are the people who were enslaved out of Western Africa and brought to these islands, this region, during slavery for the sole purpose to grow rice. The conditions of these islands, the climate is identical to Western Africa, Western Angola, Sierra Leone, the Ivory Coast of Africa. so that they could tolerate the mosquito infestation and the heat and all of that. And they knew how to grow rice, which the slave owners did not. And when I had come across visiting these islands, and they're very historic, and the culture, the music, the food, it is incredible. The history, one island in particular is where Dr. King formulated his nonviolence policy, only because it was the only place in America where J. Edgar Hoover couldn't track them. These islands were not accessible by car. They were basically only accessible by boat. Today, some of the islands are connected to the mainland by a bridge. But Battersea is off the southeast coast of Savannah, and its landmass is probably the same as Manhattan, only it's circular as opposed to Manhattan being very long, lengthy. And I went there for 2 weeks. There was a guest house that I could stay in. And you do have to get permission to get to that, get on that island. And it was just a different world, Kate. A very, in the book, it really describes it well. There's nothing on this island except 80 families that have been there that are descendants of the original slaves. Some are direct children, some are grandchildren. And on that island is nothing. There's no Walmart. There's no post office. There's no schools. There's no fire department. There's no police department. There's no traffic lights. There's maybe a mile and a half of a paved tar road coming out of the ferry dock. It's all woods. The north end of the island, you have a university's marine biology students that study there. And on the south end is an old, I believe it was the old R.J. Reynolds plantation on the actual island I stayed on. And it's just a different way of life.
Wow. So with the characters, and in this book, you talk about that, right? About what do they do? How do they live? I mean, you've just described it. It's so remote. And I guess they must love the island and they must love each other. They must have a sense of connection. Is that true?
That's very true. The religion is strong. The family ties are strong. Again, there's only 80 families. And they're not ever leaving that island, although, as you read in the book, the county and the state wants them off this island for the sole purpose of developing that area, that island, into a monster Hilton Head resort golf thing. And so the county imposes an incredibly huge tax assessment on their properties. But, of course, these people, they're not leaving. And they obey the law, and they go to court to fight it. You know, they have a lawyer, they have some help. Enters our main character, Matthias, a 21-year-old college student, takes a leave from school to descend upon this island to get involved in their effort, plight, if you will. And what Matthias brings to the table is, here we go again, Kate, every character will always have a touch of paranormal ability. Matthias is an empath. He is, think of a high level of intuition. He has a sense of things to come. He can read people almost upon first contact and know what their motives are, what their agenda is. Are they true to their hearts? He has that gift that he's discovering and begins to develop when he's on this island. It's an inherited trait that he got from his mother. And so it kind of makes it interesting. He befriends the lead advocate of Battersea Island, Harper Shea. And together with a paralegal and a lawyer, the story is about their struggle to overcome the county's war to push him off the island.
Wow. And so they're fighting. I mean, they're fighting for their livelihood. They're fighting for their way of life in a much different world. And it's interesting because you talk about Matthias being an empath and the fact that you mix in this to your books. And, you know, it's fascinating, and I would think you would have had to do a lot of research. Did you have to do a lot of research on that?
No. No. It's something I don't really talk about, Kate. But being half Hispanic, my mother's family being from Puerto Rico, the older ones on that island would always describe me. I don't speak Spanish, Kate. I kind of know phrases, but I don't speak Spanish. But then loosely translated in English is that the boy, God has blessed the boy with a sense of the devil. It's a very awkward phrase.
Mm-hmm.
They get into the black spirits, if you will, the black magic of the islands. Again, these are older people. And I never get into that, but I always seem to, and I've had people, bosses, superiors, they would always admire that I could figure out, I could almost sense certain things. Like, how did you know that was going to happen? How did you understand that what that individual said was not what he meant at all? And I can't explain it. And I just say, I don't know. It's like a gut feeling thing. So that's where it comes from.
Ah, so it's great because then you put, that's a little of your own life experience that you're, again, incorporating into some characters,
well,
little bits and pieces.
I kind of take the little thing that I have, and then I expand it through a fictional character. I'm not quite Matthias. But, again, it's a touch of this. It's not a, you know, it's not that kind of book. There is
right.
a story to the book, but having a character have some kind of unusual ability kind of entices the plot or the meal, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we'll tell everyone again, I'm speaking with Robert Nieder. He is our guest, and he's written this great book, Battersea Island. We're talking about it. And when you're finished with a book, when it's done, when you've looked at it, you put it together, you proofread it, everything else, what's that feeling like?
Well, the first thing I do is I get a cigarette. That was a bad allusion to an old thing. To be honest with you, when I did my first book, Kate, it was exhilaration. I actually broke down and cried. It was so emotional for me. And I've heard other people talk about it as I've met other writers. But I was just drained because it'll take me 9 to 11 months to complete the initial draft. And I'll never forget that. I just came home, looked at my wife, and I said, I'm done. And I just started. I broke down in tears. You know, it was like an emotional loss. You know, like, now what do I do? I'm done. But it's,
right.
I enjoy it. It's also an exhilarating feeling.
And you knew, and we talked about this before, you knew this was something you wanted to do, so it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy that you knew you wanted to do it. I asked you that question, and you said you would do it, and then voila, you did it. So, of course, it's emotional. And your friends, their reaction, they must be so proud of you.
I've got a handful of people that will always read what I write, because I need feedback, Kate. What's unusual, when I write a story, I have no clue if it's any good. It's almost like the cook making too much food for maybe a party of 30 or 40, and it gets to a point where, hey, you need to taste this because I've lost my taste with all this different foods here. So I really don't know if the books are any good. And Battersea Island is actually my second book, and the feedback I was getting was very strong, and I sat down and I said, well, I guess it's not bad. And my wife, of course, Carmen, is always the first to read these things because she'll help me proofread, and she loves it. But, you know, after writing 3 books, Kate, I've come to learn if I wrote about the kitchen sink, she would love it. So she's a little biased. I've come to learn that she is very biased.
I love that. It's a perfect place to end this. Robert Nieder, the book is called Battersea Island. Pick it up wherever books are sold, Amazon, etc. Robert, thanks so much.
Kate, thank you. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed the time.
This is Jessica Armand, founder of My Magic Mud. Our team helped organize a successful effort to remove fluoride from our city's water supply. This is our passion. My Magic Mud Oral Care purifies and brightens your smile naturally. GCN listeners, please support my family business by purchasing our product from your local health food store. We're also available at CVS Pharmacy. Or visit us at MyMagicMud.com and take 10% off now with coupon code GCN10.
If you or anyone you love has been diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, your diagnosis may be the result of job-related exposure to asbestos, and you may be entitled to compensation. Over $30 billion in trusts have been set aside for individuals who have been affected by asbestos exposure. How do you protect your rights and get the compensation you deserve? Call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. Capital Legal Group is one of the nation's resources for settlement of lung cancer and mesothelioma cases. Law firms have successfully recovered over $2.7 billion for their clients in all 50 states, and claims have been paid in as little as 60 days. If you or a family member were diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. We'll open a no-cost case review on your behalf. A history of tobacco use or cigarette smoking will not disqualify your case. Visit 800-400-LUNG.com or call 800-400-LUNG. Call 800-400-5864 now. That's 800-400-LUNG.
I'm Patrick Colbeck, and I'm running for governor. Michigan auto insurance rates are almost twice the national average. We need to lower costs, but at the same time, we need to protect the lifetime benefits for those who are injured. Using my engineering problem-solving know-how, I have found a way to lower costs by a minimum of 40% while still retaining lifetime benefits. Do you realize that 58% of my own insurance premium is due to state mandates? If we eliminate those mandates, our insurance rates can be lowered to near the national average. Principal Solutions prioritize your best interests, not lobbyists. Paid for by Patrick Colbeck for governor.
Have you had credit challenges, divorce, bankruptcy, or just haven't established your credit yet? If so, getting a decent car loan can be tough. The good news is that there is a place where you can get a car loan at a fair price, regardless of your credit situation. Auto Loan Express can make it happen now when you visit newcar99.com. Here's the deal. If you have a regular job, then there's no reason to keep taking the bus or repairing that old junker. Go to newcar99.com today and fill out our simple online application. We accept over 99% of applicants and can get you behind the wheel of your new car with just a few strokes of your keyboard. No hassles, no third degree. Just fill out the simple online application and start shopping for your next car. So when you're ready to get on the road with your new car loan, visit us online at newcar99.com, where we accept 99% of all applications. newcar99.com. If you have a job, then you qualify. Here's to you and your new car. Visit newcar99.com. newcar99.com.
Or check it out. Not really up. The Hug Store. Rick Morrison is the founder of the Hug Alliance and co-author of the children's book, The Hug Store. National Hugging Day has been actually observed since 1986 on January 21st this year. In honor of the 32nd anniversary, the nonprofit I mentioned, the Hug Alliance, is aiming to set it to Guinness World Records in Los Angeles. The most nationalities ever in a group hug, and we'll tell you about the other one coming up. But let's get him on the line. He's in our virtual green room. Rick Morrison, he's the founder of the Hug Alliance and the co-author of the children's book, The Hug Store. So he's the event founder coordinator of this whole thing. Hi, Rick.
Hi. Hi, thank you.
Let's
for
talk
having
about
me on.
Tell me about why and when National Hugging Day started.
So National Hugging Day, to go back just to the origin, was actually started not by myself, but by Kevin Zaborny in 1986. And he just wanted people to hug more. And it was really just kind of a very grassroots early on movement for him. And while it's not widely known, it is known, and it's actually celebrated in some places all over the world on every January 21st. So that's how the origins of it go back. But this year will be by far the biggest global celebration and recognition of that day.
Yeah, so tell us what you're doing. I mentioned the one thing, trying to get those two Guinness World Records in L.A. Tell us about that.
So there's three, actually, world records we're going to go for. The first world record is the most nationalities ever in a group hug. And it's going to represent, it's basically like the Olympics of hugging. And there's going to be sashes worn by different people from different countries. And hopefully we're going to, you know, have every country, but, you know, we need a certain number to actually break the Guinness record. And then the second is a real fun record that is going to involve astronauts in the International Space Station that have these kinetic vests. And a few people on Earth will wear them and be able to hug. And when they hug themselves in this vest, the person in the space station, the astronaut, will feel that hug and do the same thing back. So it literally is like an intergalactic hug.
Wow, interesting. I love that.
Yeah.
Intergalactic. So cool. How did you work this whole thing out?
The world records. I said you guys might need to change, you know, rethink your name, because, you know, it goes outside the world at that point.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, I love that. Tell me about what are the benefits of hugging? What is research showing us?
Well, see, that's it. There's so much research now. And, you know, I always say to people, it's like, you know, your favorite flavor ice cream. You just, you know, you like what you like, and you like a hug because it leaves you feeling a certain way, or you feel great about giving somebody one when they feel, you know, the need, you know, they need a hug. But really now, if you actually practice it like an exercise, there's one of the doctors within our Hug Alliance, he's a clinical psychologist who has a book coming out, 21 day hugs, hugging 21 people over 21 days for 21 seconds at a time. And it's that connection point in longer hugs that has really been researched, where, and the list is so long, I mean, we could be on for an hour talking about the benefits, but, you know, some of the most common ones now that are all the things that involve different chemicals in the body, oxytocin, serotonin, dopamine, those kind of what we call tonic chemicals and good feeling chemicals. You know, there's more of them. Your body produces more of those, and it reduces the stress hormone, also known as just slip my mind for a minute, cortisol. And that's kind of the one that, you know, you try to not. But that's the one that, you know, we've always had for fight or flight when you're in fear-based, and that, along with adrenaline, you know, those are the ones that. So, and by doing that, as those chemicals go in different directions with increases and decreases, you know, you reduce stress and worry and anxiety. You increase your calmness. You know, it involves more in compassion and understanding of the people that you're with. And one of my favorites, because we're such a supplement kind of world these days, where there's a supplement, it seems, for everything, hugs really have been researched to stimulate your immune system.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
I have no idea about that. Rick, so tell me, and we're going to say again, Rick Morrison is the founder of the Hug Alliance, co-author of the children's book, The Hug Store. What got you involved in this?
My daughter. Honestly, I mean, I've always been a hugger. Some of the people, you know, might even say a world-class hugger, but I never, you know, it's hugging. It's just part of who I am. So I never really thought there'd be a path to really kind of explore hugs and try to get the word out on the benefits to the masses. But, you know, my daughter and I are so close. We wrote this children's book together, and it's kind of been somewhat effortless in getting it out there because there's such a need for it these days with so much division and separateness. And you know, actually, with everything going on so much, too, with the Me Too campaign, it's like we don't, you know, it's okay to hug. Just ask the person you're going to hug. You know, say, I'd love to hug you. Would you welcome my hug? You know, and that's obviously for people you don't know or don't know well. But even within, you know, the context of the families, you know, people don't stop to hug. You might do a little quick kiss or a little pat on the back, but you're not really getting those benefits that we spoke of earlier.
It's so funny you say that, Rick, because I notice people who are, like you say, you're like a world-class hugger. I notice people who give really, I call them really sincere, good hugs. And I have a couple of friends that are just awesome when they hug you. And it is. It isn't this like kind of, I mean, it just feels good. There is something about it.
Well, you know, and there's, I don't know if there's research on this. I haven't seen anything, at least on our end, that's come through the Hug Alliance. But, you know, it always goes back to, you know, when you are born, you've been hugged for, you know, virtually 9 months, and you're hugged, and you're used to having a feeling of things around you. And, you know, babies are often swaddled to bring them comfort and, you know, wrapped really tight. That gives them a very calm presence, and that continues on. You know, with hugging is kind of the extension of those things that start early, very in life.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Tell me about the children's book, The Hug Story. You said you wrote it with your daughter. What was that like?
It is my joy to talk about that. It was actually, it's based on a true story of an event that happened when we were visiting my family in Michigan, where Shauna, my daughter, who was 4 at the time, you know, she didn't want to hug her grandpa. And she hadn't seen him in 6 months. And, you know, the grandparents always, you know, kind of want their hugs, and it's kind of all about them. But sometimes kids just aren't comfortable. And, you know, I kind of took a step back, and I didn't insist that she hug him. And I kind of just let it play out to see what she would do. Would it be kind of a meltdown situation? Would my parents be upset? And I didn't know. And Shauna just said that she was all out of hugs. And didn't have any right now, but she'd go to the store while she was in Michigan and bring one home back, or bring one home for Grandpa.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so the book is a discovery for kids to kind of return to trusting their instincts, to rely on their self for answers and self-discovery. And it's set around the context of a family, and Shauna goes shopping in different stores that she picked, looking for hugs, but virtually, you know, by the end realizing that, you know, if you shop for hugs, you'll be shopping forever.
Oh, what a wonderful sentiment. I love that. Oh, this is terrific.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Rick, I hope you set all those records, and we're going to tell everyone, hug somebody on January 21st. Hug them every day, but hug some people.
And they can follow us. I will say actually two things real quick, because people can live stream the event anywhere in the world. It's going to be globally live streamed. And that site, they can find us a few different ways, through thehugalliance.net, thehugmob.com, or for the direct link on agapelive.com, agapelive.
I love it, Rick. We'll be doing that. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Big hugs.
I love it. You can tell he's a big hugger. You know it. You know he's a good hugger. I love the story about his daughter. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side here on ATN.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
You have been lied to, generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create
9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror, and now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.